So the share I'm going to give tonight is on the prohibition of leaving Bavel. And it's kind of a continuation of the share that I gave this past Sunday. So the share I gave this past Sunday was based on the Rambam before the one that we're going to do tonight. So tonight we're going to discuss a similar topic. The beginning of the Rambam we'll look at also talks about the greatness of living in Eretz Yisrael. And then the end talks about leaving Bavel. So let's look at the sources inside. It's on the screen if you don't have it in front of you. It's source number one is the Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Hay Halacha Yud Beis LaOlam Yador Adam BeEretz Yisrael Afil BeIr Sheruba Akum. So a person should always live in Israel, even in a city which is mostly non-Jews. The Al Yador BeChutz LaAretz, and but you should not live outside of Eretz Yisrael. VaAfilu BeIr Sheruba Yisrael, even in a city which is mostly Jewish. So the Rambam says that anyone who goes to Chutz La'aretz, it's as if they're doing a Avodah Zarah. Shenamar, as it says, Ki girshuni ayom mistapeach benachlas Hashem, lemor leich avod Elohim achirim. So David, when he was escaping, he said that he was forced out of Nachlas Hashem, and he was told to go worship other gods. So we'll look at the Gemara to understand that limud. And with regard to bad things, calamities, it says that you should not go into Eretz Yisrael. Kishim sha'aser lotzis me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz, kach aser lotzis mi'bavel l'shar ha'aratos. So just like it's aser to leave Eretz Yisrael for chutz la'aretz, it's also aser to leave Bavel to other areas, to other lands. So you weren't allowed to leave Bavel to go to Europe or America, Shnemar. Bavela yivu v'shama yiyu. So there's a pasuk that says that I will bring you to Bavel by the Gullus Bavel, and there you will be, and the end of the pasuk says, until I take you out of Bavel. So there's two parts of the Rambam. The first part of the Rambam discusses, again, how it's better to live in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's mostly a non-Jewish city, versus living in Chutz La'aretz, even if the city is mostly Jewish. And he even goes so far as to say that it's as if you're doing a Avodah Zarah if you go and live in Chutz La'aretz. If you go out of Eretz Yisrael and you go live in Chutz La'aretz. So the question is, why is it a Avodah Zarah? What's the similarity? What's the comparison to living in Chutz La'aretz to doing a Avodah Zarah, to doing idolatry? Just because you live in America, for example, or you left Eretz Yisrael and to live in America, so why are you ki'ilu ovid avodah zarah? It doesn't really make sense. It seems a little harsh to compare the person to an ovid avodah zarah. And also, what about the idea that your surroundings may have an impact upon you, and if you are living in Eretz Yisrael and most of your town is non-Jewish, one would think, just logically, that it would be better to live in a town outside of Eretz Yisrael with more Jews. So what exactly is the concept? And then the second part of the Rambam, the question is, you know, what's the problem with leaving Bavel in specific, and why does he quote this pasuk? So those are the questions on the Rambam thus far, and we're going to look at the Gemara inside in order to get some more insight and hopefully answer all the questions. That's my goal tonight. So look at source number two. The Gemara in Ksubos, Kofiyorama Beis, it says as follows. It's the Gemara that the Rambam is based on. It says, Tanur Rabbanan. So our rabbis tell, the Olam Yadur Adam Be'Eretz Yisrael, Afilu Be'ir Sheruba Ovde Kochavim. So a person should always live, or should rather live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a place which is mostly Ovdei Kochavim. Val yador b'chutz la'aretz v'afilu b'ir sheru b'Yisrael. And he says that you shouldn't live in chutz la'aretz, even in a city which is mostly Jewish. Shekol adar b'Eretz Yisrael doma kemi sheyeshlo eloka. So anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if they have a god, meaning Hashem. V'chol adar b'chutz la'aretz, but anyone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, Dome kemisha ein lo aloka. It's as if they don't have a god. Shenamar lo seis lachem es eretz kanan lios lachem leilokim. That Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael in order to be our god. V'chol shein udar b'aretz ein lo aloka. So anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have a god. How does that make sense? Ella lomar lach kol adar b'chutz la'aretz kilu ovid avodas kochavim. So it's the same as the Rambam, or the Rambam is the same as the Gemara. But the answer is, no, it doesn't actually mean that you don't have a god. It means that you're equivalent to, or it's as if you did a Avodah Zarah. V'chein b'David hu omer, ki gershuna yom istapeach b'nachlas Hashem lemor, leich avod Elohim acharim, V'chimi amar lo David leichavod elohim acharim. Who told David to go worship idols? El lomar lach kol adar b'chutz laaretz kilu ovid avodas kochavim. So it's trying to teach you this principle that if you live in chutz laaretz, it's as if you do avodah zarah. So it's the same type of question, although there is a little bit of a difference in that the Gemara first proposes that you don't have a god outside of Eretz Yisrael, but then the Gemara rejects it and says, no, you have a god, you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have Hashem. However, it's as if you're doing avodah zarah. So again, it's the same question, the same basic question, which is, you know, what's the comparison between living in chutz laaretz and doing avodah zarah? It seems a little bit harsh that anyone who lives in chutz laaretz is an ovid avodah zarah. So let's look at Rashi quickly. He says, "V'chimi yamar lo David kain al abnei hayat sarach levroch v'latzis meretz Yisrael el melch Moav el Achish." So David was escaping, and nobody told him to go worship other gods. He's David. However, when he had to escape and he had to leave Eretz Yisrael, he was basically saying that it's as if somebody told him to go worship other gods, and the reference is to the idea of being an Ovid Avodos Kochavim. Okay, so David certainly was not an Ovid Avodos Kochavim, and we aren't either, now that we live in America. But what's the comparison? What's our flaw here that it's similar to being an Ovid Avodos Kochavim? So those are the questions. So let's kind of do a little more research here. And we'll look at the Marsha, and the Marsha quotes Ramban, and we'll look at the Ramban, and then we'll get back to the first question. So are there any questions thus far, though, on the Shir? Like, I just want to stop for a second. Anybody have any questions? Is the Ramam clear, the Gemara so far? I think it is, but if it's not, just stop me. It's fine. All right, excellent. All right, so let's keep going. So the Marsha on this Gemara gives us just a little more facts. And we need more facts in order to get a svara here. So look in source number 4. It says, V'chol domek mi she'in lo aloha, v'chol she'in lo dar b'Eretz Yisrael, in lo aloha, lo lomar. L'cha'ora d'ha ihu nami dome ka'amar. So it sounds like, at first glance, that if a person is living outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if they don't have a god. That's what the Gemara says. U'ma tikin b'zet fei, sha'amar ki'ilu ovir avodas kochavim. So the Gemara rejects the fact that if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have a god, and it changes it that you're an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Apparently, for what reason, the Maharsha is asking, does the Gemara change it to being an Ovid Avodah Zarah? V'nir lefarish devada HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eloka Kola Olam. So he's certainly the god of the whole world. So that's a given. So everyone should accept that Hashem is the god of the whole world. Aval Nikra Elokea Aretz. But he's referenced in various psukim in the Torah as the god of the land. Dehainu, al shem Eretz Yisrael. So what is that a reference to? Eretz Yisrael. Kamasha kasav haramban, parshas vayelech, ayin sham. So in the Ramban, he says that Hashem is called Elokea Aretz, the god of the land. He's not called the god of the world, although he is the god of the world, but there's a specific reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, as being the god of the land. So it sounds interesting. So let's keep going, then we'll get to that. V'hu al pi ha-dimyon she'amo Yisrael heim ba'aretz v'hashta mashakosav. So it's based on the concept that the people are in Eretz Yisrael. V'hashta mashakosav kol adar b'Eretz Yisrael domek kimi she'yesh lo aloha nicha. So the fact that anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if they have a god, makes sense. Ayin Sham Al Shem Elokeis Haaretz, because Hashem is called the God of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have Hashem, because he's the God of the land, and it's logical. You know, you live in Eretz Yisrael, he's the God of the land, therefore he is your God, and you have a God. Aval Mashakas of Adar B'Chutzlaretz Lo Yitachin Bo Lomar Shedomek Yilu Ein Lo Eloka Kevin Shenikra Gam Kein Elokei Olam. But anybody who lives outside of Chutzlaretz, you can't say that they don't have a god, because Hashem, even though he's specific to the land of Eretz Yisrael, he's also the god of the world. That's why the Gemara says, anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, they don't have a god. We know that there's a shvua, a promise by Hashem, that even if the Jews are outside of Eretz Yisrael, he's still our god. So how could you say that the Jews in Golis don't have a god? It has nothing to do with the Aretz. The Ka'amar Devade Dome Kemisha in Loaloka, Ka'amar, Tahainu Kilu Ein Mekabel as a Kadosh Baruch Hu Loaloka, Elo Ovid Avodas Kochavim. So the Gemara is just explaining what it means that you don't have a God. It doesn't mean that you don't have access to a God, but it means that it says if you reject God and you're accepting Avodas Kochavim. I think somebody's mute button's off. Sorry. Just okay, there we go. Kishar Goye Aretz Ovdei Avodas Kochavim. Okay, fine. So the Marsha just explains a little bit further. But he says that the Gemara's move is to say that if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not like you don't have a God, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish people that even in Gullus, he will be the God. He's the God of the world. And we will have a relationship with him even in Gullus. However, it's as if by living in Chutz La'aretz, we're rejecting him and we're choosing other gods. And that's what the Gemara is saying, and it's just trying to explain Domel L'misha Ein Lo Eloka. It doesn't mean that Hashem isn't possible to approach in Chutz La'aretz and that he's not present. However, what it means is that we're rejecting him by living outside of Eretz Yisrael. So why are we rejecting him by living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and why are we like Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Just going to repeat the questions over and over again until we get some more insight here. Okay, so those are the questions. And let's just look at Parsha a little bit, some Rambans, and then we'll get to the answer. So I'm hoping to get to the answer, and we will get to a good answer. So the Ramban says, let's look at the Parsha, because the Marsha quotes the Ramban. And I like to go in logical order here. So the Marsha quotes the Ramban, and there's some hidden idea based on the Ramban that the Gemara is kind of using, according to the Marsha, which is that if we live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if we have a God. And the reason is because Hashem is called Elokei Aretz. So where does the Ramban talk about this? So he speaks about this in Vayelech and also in Acharimos. So it says in Vayelech, Vayomar Hashem al Moshe, Hincha shochiv im avosecha, v'kama amazeh, v'zana acharei Elohei nechar aretz, asher hu vashama bekirbo, v'azavani v'yifir esprisi, asher karati ito. So Hashem says to Moshe that you're going to die, and this nation is going to be involved in znus, or they're going to leave, they're going to stray after the gods, the foreign gods in the land in which you are going to go to, and I will leave them, and azavani, they will leave me, sorry, and they broke the covenant which I made with them, with the Jewish people. So this is where there's an interesting take on the Ramban. So the Ramban says, hold on one second. I'm just going to turn your mute button on. There we go. So the Ramban says over there that Elohei Nechar Aretz, he says, Goyei Ha'aretz Lashon Rashi. So what it means is that the Jews are going to do Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. They're going to stray after the idols. And we know that throughout history and in Shoftim, there are many examples where the Jewish people followed Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the pasuk is referencing, that Hashem's telling Moshe the future, that the Jews are going to go to Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to follow the gods of the foreign nations, of the Canaanim, because they're not going to take care of business. They're not going to destroy all of their idols. He says, Ve'inenu ken, but the Ramban says that's not the meaning of the pasuk, aval ha'elokim shehu nechar ba'aretz hazos. But it means that Hashem will be foreign to this land. Ki Hashem ha'nichbad nikra Elokei Aretz, because Hashem is called the God of the land. Ke'inyan shenemar ki lo yadu es mishpat Elokei Yisrael. V'chein vayidabru el Elokei Yerushalayim ki'al Elokei Amei Aretz. Uchsiv lo yishbu ba'aretz Hashem. So there's many quotes, there's many psukim that support the idea that Rashi is reading the pasuk wrong. It doesn't mean that they are going to follow foreign gods. However, what it means is that they're going to stray after. They're going to stray in the land in which God is foreign to. And what is that? That is when God is rejected in Eretz Yisrael, he's foreign to the land, because God is inherently called Elokei Aretz, and that's his nature, and he's tied to the land. So what does that mean? So what does that mean that Hashem is called Elokei Aretz? Can we define that? Can we define the concept of Elokei Aretz a little bit stronger, a little bit more powerfully, so that we can understand why you'd be an Ovid of Avodah Zarah living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and why you accept God when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're in a city of Rubo Shel Akum. So let's just do one more Ramban, and then hopefully we'll get to the first concept and answer the Rambam and the Gemara as to what it means. So one last one. So the last Ramban we're going to do is on this pasuk in Achrimos. And he's talking about the same concept. He says, Vatitma aretz va'afkod avona aleha v'ataki aretz yoshvel. So when the Jews are involved in znus, and they're involved in lewd actions, so what happens is that in Eretz Yisrael, the land will take vengeance on them, or v'afkod avona aleha, that their sins will be repaid for through the land, and the land will spit out those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So what does that mean? What does it mean that the land will spit them out? What's that concept? So the Ramban goes a little bit deeper here. And he says as follows. Look in source number 8. He says, Hechmir akasav b'arayos. So the Torah is very specific. They don't want Jews being involved in arayos. Arayos are immoral relationships. B'avura aret shetitma b'hen. Because when the Jews are involved in immoral relationships, the land, when they're in Eretz Yisrael, the land itself becomes defiled by it. V'atakia nefashos ha'osos. And then it spits out, it vomits up all those individuals who are in the land and they're involved in that immorality. But what's the connection between the two? So the key is these psukim when it says that Hashem will create boundaries and borders for all the nations, but the Jews will have their own nation and their own boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So, basic foundation that Hashem created everything. But the laws of the universe are placed in the heavens. So every nation has their own star, their own system, natural system. So Hashem designed a system for each country, each nation, that runs on its own, but it's guided by a star. According to the Ramban, it's a star, it's a force. He says, Ki chalak lekula mazolus b'shamayim, because he designed it so that each country would have their own constellations that would control it. Ugvoim aleihem malachei, hold on. Elyon, Nasnam Liosam, Sarim Aleim. And then you have Malachim above those stars, and they're in charge. Kinu Chikasuv, Visara Machlis, Paras Omed Lenegdi, Uchsiv Ine, Sar Yavanba, Menekram Malachim, Kedachsiv Anino Sarti Sham Eitzel Malche Paras. So his first point is that the other nations, they have their own system that's governed by not Hashem himself, but an intermediary of Hashem. And there's a system here. There's the Malach that's on top, and then there's obviously Hashem's at the very, very top, and then there's the Malachim, and then there's the stars, and then underneath that is the particular country. So America has its own constellation that's run by its own Malach, or Greece has its own constellation run by its own Malach, and that's what makes the other nations different than the nation of Klal Yisrael. Hine Hashem Anichbad, Hu Elokei Holokim, V'Adonai Adonim L'chol Olam. So Hashem is the ultimate controller, creator, master of the universe. Aval Eretz Yisrael emtsos hayishuv hinachlas Hashem yuchedes l'shmo. But Eretz Yisrael is the only one that's designed and unique to his name. Lo nasan aleha min amalachim katzin shotar moshel. There's no other intermediary that controls Eretz Yisrael. Banchilo osa la'amo hamiyachet shmo zera o'avav. And for the nation that lives in it, who are propagating the love of Zeruva, that he loves, the offspring that he loves. V'zehu she'amar v'yisem li segula mikol amim ki li chol ha'aretz. Uchsev v'yisem li la'am v'anochi eye lachem le'elokim. Lo she'tiyu atem el Elohim achirim klal, that you're not belonging, you don't belong to any other gods. V'yinei kidi she'am ha'yoshev v'artzo v'kdushos ha'rayos v'rove ha'mitzvos li'osan l'shmo. So the nation that lives in Eretz Yisrael, they have a specific designation that their goal is to represent Hashem to the world, and they should not be involved in immorality. And that's why it says that you need to follow the laws, and there's an intrinsic relationship between the laws and the land will cut you out, will spit you up, vomit you, if you don't follow the laws.
Yomar ki yivdil osanet mikol amim asher nasan aleim sarim ve'elohim achirim.
So all the other nations have these other governing features. But Eretz Yisrael is specifically governed by Hashem, and it's designed to reflect His name. And the land doesn't tolerate this type of immorality. Okay, I think we've gone a little bit off the reservation here. We're a little far from the original point, but trying to follow the Ramban, the Marsha, he tells us about one Ramban, and the Ramban alludes to this Ramban. So I just want to try to use a concept in the Ramban, or try to understand the Ramban a little bit, of what it means that Hashem is unique to the lands. He's called Elokei Haaretz, and how we can use that idea, that concept, to explain why a person living in Eretz Yisrael is considered having a God, and a person living outside of Eretz Yisrael, regardless of your community, whether you live in a firm community or not, is considered an Ovid Avodah Zarah. In what sense are you an Ovid Avodah Zarah? So what is the Ramban saying, and what exactly is the Rambam alluding to over here? So I think that there's two different approaches that I was thinking about. So one approach is the Ramban's approach, and then the other approach is separate from the Ramban's approach. So I'll start with separate from the Ramban, even though we were using the Ramban, and maybe they coincide. We'll see. But does anybody have any possibilities before I give a svara that I've been working on? Any other possibilities? Anybody have any points that or questions that they have on these sources so far? All right, excellent, good. So the first idea I was thinking about, just to explain the Rambam and the Gemara, is why are you considered an Ovid Avodah Zarah when you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to in Eretz Yisrael where you're considered to have a God? The Rambam doesn't actually mention the positive, he just mentions the negative. So what is the negative? Let's just define, why are you an Ovid Avodah Zarah if you leave Eretz Yisrael and you live in Chutz La'aretz? So I was thinking about it from a sports perspective. It just popped into my mind. So I was thinking about it in this fashion. So there is clearly an identification psychologically, emotionally, with the place that you live in. And the best example of that is from sports. So if you ever notice people who are into sports, I don't know if anybody's into sports on the call over here, on this share, but if people are into sports, they tend to identify with the team, and they tend to say, you know, it's my team. So what happens is, like the New York Knicks. So if you live in New York, the Knicks become your team. I grew up in Florida, so the Dolphins became my team. And you know, sometimes I listen to sports talk radio. It's like one of my guilty pleasures in between while I'm working. So I'll listen to some sports talk radio sometimes, and you know, what it is that you hear people calling into the shows and they're very passionate about their teams, and they almost think like that it's theirs and that they control the team. But the reality is that if you think about it logically, there is no real connection between you and the team. You know, these individuals are hired by a business to perform, and you're not really connected. The only reason why you're connected is because you identify with the place that you live in. So the place that you live in becomes your town. Like my town is Miami, my town is Teaneck. And then because you identify yourself with your town, so what ends up happening is your sports team becomes you, an extension of you. And that's usually how most people think about their own towns. So maybe the idea that the Rambam is saying with regard to why are you an Ovid Avodah Zarah if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael versus living in Eretz Yisrael, and this might tie into the Ramban, the idea is that when you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, so that concept, that identification of this being mine, that it's my town, and that sense, that feeling of almost ego, or there's almost a sense of power in it's like an unconscious ownership, like it's mine, I own it, it's my town, it's my team. So that idea is connected, and it's very in line with Ovid Avodah Zarah, because what is Avodah Zarah on a mental, psychological, emotional level? So Avodah Zarah is just an expression of your own ego. You choose the God. You get to choose who you want to bow down to, you know, who is your God, and you get to make the idol itself. And it's a reflection of a person's ego, you know, an extension of their ego. So the idea is that when you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, regardless of whether or not you're in a Jewish community, you identify yourself with the land, with the town itself, and you say, this is my town. When you do that, it's as if you're Ovid Avodah Zarah. Why? Because it's almost as if you're taking ownership of that town. It's as if in your mind you have some type of control over the town, and people get a lot of ego satisfaction and power out of owning land. And that's why land ownership, regardless of whether I'm talking about living in a town, but land ownership is a very big source of power and ego. So the idea is that when you live in a town, you define it as yours. That is really the beginning of Oved Avodah Zarah. It's like a type of Avodah Zarah in the sense that it's like an extension of your own ego. That's what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is driven by your own power, your own sense of power, your own sense of bilis, your own sense of control. But the opposite is the case in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Ramban, I think, and the Maharsha are saying, that the land of Eretz Yisrael is governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's unique hashgacha, and the land itself has unique ideas that are dedicated to reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the concepts of the mitzvos of Shemitah and Yovel, for example. And it's impossible for a person to feel that way the same way they would in Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael. I wouldn't say it's impossible. It's less likely, because it's, you know, going to an extreme is an expression of an emotion, but I would say it's less likely. So the Rambam is teaching us this concept based on the Gemara, which is that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, regardless of really the society, the community itself, there still is an idea of identifying yourself with the land that you're in, with the city you're in, the town that you're in. And no matter what, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's the land itself, and the fact that there are mitzvos in the land, and a special hashgacha, like the Ramban is saying, in the land, it makes you connected. It gives you, it creates a connection with you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the idea is that when you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, when you're in Chutz La'aretz, so the concept of land ownership, of you having power or control, this is my town, this is my team, even if you think that you're not serious, and of course a person, if you ask them questions, you would say, is it really your team? They would say, of course not. But deep down inside, unconsciously, that is the source of Avodah Zarah. It's really man's own ego, man's own sense of power or control, which is the opposite expressed in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what it means also, the Ramban. So this is not so far from the Ramban. We'll just combine the two. But I think the Ramban is saying also that outside of Eretz Yisrael, man does have more of a sense of power because there's not as much hashgacha. The hashgacha is removed somewhat from those lands. So man is capable of feeling more of a sense of power as tied to the land that they live in. As opposed to in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a special hashgacha, you're surrounded, the land itself is tied to the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's much more difficult for a person living there to feel a sense of power, control, identification with the land as being yours, as being my town. And it's always God's town, it's not yours. Everything about it reflects God. The land itself reflects God. So it's very difficult to feel like it's mine. But in Chutz La'aretz, you feel that way. And that's the sports analogy. And you see that it's very powerful in America, and we succumb to it too. So that, I think, is what the Rambam is saying. So that's what it means that it's ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. It's as if you're Oved Avodah Zarah because you partake of the same quality of power and ego and a sense of control that is really the source of Avodah Zarah. And I think that's what the idea is expressed in the Rambam and the Gemara. So does anybody have any questions? Any questions on that idea, that concept? Does it make sense? There we go. Rabbi, yes. Yeah, sure.
The Rambam says that there's three reasons why you could leave Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Get married, learn, and for Parnassa.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Now, how do you think that works out with this idea?
Well, I would say, I would say he's not saying you are an Oved Avodah Zarah. He's saying ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. So he's pointing out a flaw that you have, but there's other priorities. Meaning, if it was that you're actually an Oved Avodah Zarah, if you live in Chutz La'aretz, then you would never be able to leave Eretz Yisrael. And of course, the next part of the Rambam doesn't make sense because it says you have to stay in Bavel. But he's not saying that you're actually an Oved Avodah Zarah. He's saying ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah, but there are priorities. You know, it was like the shiur that I gave on Sunday. I mean, I'm not telling I know I was joking at the very end of the shiur that everyone should move to Eretz Yisrael, but the truth is that these are ideas that I think the Rambam is expressing, but it doesn't mean that there aren't other priorities that a person has to consider in making a move. And the Rambam is saying that there are other priorities in the halachic priorities that take precedence over this philosophical issue of ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. So that's how I would explain it. It's not like you're really Oved Avodah Zarah. You can, I mean, we live in Chutz La'aretz, we're not Oved Avodah Zarah, but But it means ke'ilo. It means you have a certain quality that could lead to a avodah zara. It's the very the basis of a avodah zara, but it doesn't mean that you're actually an ovid avodah zara. So that's how I would answer that question. All right. So let's just do the end part. So the Rambam, the last part of the Rambam says that there's an iser to leave Bavel. So let's just do the Rambam again. Source number one. It says, Kishem she'asr latzeis me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz, kach asr latzeis mi'bavel l'shar aratos, shenemar bavela yuvu v'shama yuyu. So the pasuk says that you need to be in Bavel. Bavel is the place of the Jews in Gullus, until Hashem takes us out of Gullus. And there's an iser to leave Bavel, which is quite strange, fascinating, and astounding to me. So there's an interesting Gemara on this, and there's different approaches. But it sounds like, before we get to the Gemara, it sounds like from the Rambam, the Pshat of the Rambam, he's just saying you can't leave Bavel to Shar Ratzos. But it sounds like the Rambam would say that you can leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, I mean, in the Gemara, a lot of them traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So it sounds like that from the Rambam, that the Rambam is poskening that you can't leave Bavel for Shar Ratzos. Shar Ratzos are like, you can't leave Bavel for Europe. You can't leave Bavel for America. But you could leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Rambam seems to be poskening, but it ends up being an issue with the Gemara. And I'll show you why. So the Gemara says in Ksuvos, look at number 9 on the sheets or on the screen. It says, Rav Zera hava kamishtamit mine de Rav Yehuda deba le mesach l'Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Zera, so the Gemara says Rav Zera was in Bavel, and he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he was trying to avoid Rav Yehuda. The Amar Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda maintained Kol Ola mi Bavel the Eretz Yisrael over Baasei Shneamar Bavela Yuvu v'Shama Yu Ad Yom Pakdio Sam Neum Hashem. So Rav Yehuda maintained that a person is not allowed to leave Bavel even for Eretz Yisrael, and that was his shita, and that's what the Gemara says Kol Ola mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael over Baasei. So Rav Zera, he argued with Rav Yehuda. He felt that it was mutter, and therefore he's going and he's trying to avoid him. He doesn't want to get scolded by Rav Yehuda. So he's sneaking around and he's trying to get out without Rav Yehuda knowing. So it's interesting. So Rav Yehuda maintained that it was an iser to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But there's also another membra in the Gemara. So the pasuk is in 11, Bavel yuvu v'shama yu ad yom pakti osam nu mashem v'alisam v'ashivosim el makom hazeh. So basically the pasuk is that the Jews should stay in Bavel after their agola until Hashem comes and he redeems them, or he takes them out and he brings them to Eretz Yisrael. But there's another memra in 13. It says, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kishem she'asur lotzeis me'aretz Yisrael l'bavel, kach asur lotzeis mi'bavel l'shar ratos. So the Gemara over there says that just like it's asur to leave Eretz Yisrael for Bavel, so too it's asur to leave Bavel for other lands. Meaning, leaving Bavel, like the Rambam saying, leaving Bavel for, let's say, America or Europe. So if you notice, the Rambam is strange now because he's, and look at Rashi. So Rashi gives the Svara. He says, Kach asr latzeis mi bavel, defi sheyesham yeshivos hamarbitos Torah tamid. So Rashi maintains that the reason why it's asr to leave Bavel for Shar Ratzos is because Bavel was the center of Torah, and there was actually a hashgacha. Hashem, the fact that the Jews went to Bavel was not an accident. Hashem wanted the Jews to go to Bavel, and that was the place where Torah, Talmud Bavli, that was the place where Torah flourished, and it actually grew, and it got huge, and that was the center of Torah. So you can't leave a place which is the center of Torah. But what's strange about the Rambam, what the Lecha Mishnah points out, we don't have to do the Lecha Mishnah inside, but what's strange about the Rambam, if you go back, the Rambam kind of mixes the two memras. Because he says, let's go back to the Rambam. He says, Kashem she'asr lotzeis me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz, just like you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz, kach asr lotzeis mi Bavel l'shahar ratos. So that's like, he says, you can't leave Bavel for other lands. Sounds like you can go to Eretz Yisrael, but you can't leave Bavel for other lands. Hope this is not making you dizzy. But if you go back to the Gemara in source number 13, it says, kishem she'asr lotzeis mi Eretz Yisrael l'Bavel, kach asr lotzeis mi Bavel l'shahar ratos. So that's the quote that the Rambam is saying. However, he uses the pasuk, go back to the Rambam, he uses the pasuk, Shenemar Bavela Yuvu Vishamayu. He uses the pasuk from the beginning Gemara that I quoted in number 9, Rav Yehuda's statement, that you're not allowed to go to Bavel to Eretz Yisrael because of Bavela, because that pasuk, Bavela Yuvu Vishamayu. So the Lecha Mishnah says that the Rambam is inconsistent with the Gemara. Because which memra is he poskening? Like, is he? It sounds like the Rambam is saying that you're allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, not other Aratzos, but he's quoting the pasuk of the Shita that holds that you can't go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So what's the Rambam svara? Meaning, does the Rambam hold? It sounds like he's clearly holding you can go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but who's he holding? Like, what's his svara? What's his theory? Because he's very confused, the Rambam, it seems like, although we know he's very deliberate. But it sounds very confusing in the sense that in one memra, it says you can't go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he's quoting that pasuk. But on the other hand, he's only saying that you can go to Eretz Yisrael, you just can't go to Shaar Ratzos. So what's his svara? And what's the idea of Bavelosh Yuvu Vishrama Yiyu to the point where, you know, you're not allowed to leave Bavel for whatever reason because there's Ashkacha that you have to be there? It's not, he doesn't say it's because there's a lot of yeshivos there. He never says that. So what exactly is the idea of not leaving Bavel? So anybody want to try to answer that question on the Rambam, or any questions thus far? Anybody have any questions on the line? Don't feel any pressure. No pressure. All right. So let me just give one other svara, the second svara in the shir, and then I'll just wrap things up. So what's the idea? What's the nature of this issur according to the Rambam? So I think the Rambam is saying different ideas, a little bit different from Rashi. He doesn't say that the reason is because there's a lot of yeshivos and you're not allowed to leave an environment of Torah, but he says Bavel Yuvu Vishama Yiyu. So what is that concept? Why was the pasuk in Yirmiyahu so insistent that the Jews be in Bavel and that they can't leave Bavel to other Aratos like the Rambam says? So I think the answer is that after the destruction of the Mikdash and the Jews had gone to Bavel and they set up their yeshivas there, really the preservation of the Mesorah was tied to be in Bavel. Bavel was the place in which the Mesorah was really preserved. And you see that from all the yeshivos, Nahardea, you know, all the yeshivos, Pumbedisa, that emerged in Bavel. And there seemed to be Ashkacha from Hashem, based on the Psukim, that the preservation of the Mesorah would take place in Bavel. And that's the idea of Bavel Yuvu Vishama Yiyu. So that explains maybe what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that you can't leave Bavel. Why? Because every Jew has to protect the Mesorah to the best ability possible. And when you leave the Makom of Bavel and you go to other lands, so what ends up happening is that the Mesorah gets distorted over time. And we know for a fact that once there were divisions in Klal Yisrael and there was Svardim and Ashkenazim, there are different Minhagim that emerged, a lot more division, and the Mesorah became more cracked and more distorted as a result. I wouldn't say distorted, but the Mesorah wasn't preserved to what it was in Bavel. So maybe the Rambam's saying something unique. He's arguing, you can still go to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is always the Makom Mesorah. You know, that's its definition. It's always the Makom Mesorah, because it's Eretz Hashem. Like you just said it in the Rambam before, he said it's Nachlas Hashem. It's always going to be defined as the Makom Mesorah. However, when you're in Bavel, you can't leave Bavel for another land. Why? Because you're not allowed to, as a Jew, you're not allowed to just forget about the preservation of the Mesorah. And what happened was that when the Jews left Bavel, that's what happened. When you have different communities in different areas, it becomes harder and harder to preserve the Mesorah that existed previously. And then new Minhagim emerge, and then more questions emerge, and then you have these issues. So I think the Chiddush of the Rambam is saying that there's an Isser to leave Bavel. Why? Because Bavel Yuv Vishama Yu, that Hashem's will was that the Mesorah be preserved and in Bavel. And if you leave Bavel, you're risking, or at least there's a philosophical flaw, that you're not allowing or you're rejecting that preservation of the Mesorah. And that's the Isser for a person to leave Bavel. But the Rambam is unique because he's saying, no, you can still go to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because according to the Rambam, and it makes sense based on the beginning of the Rambam, Eretz Yisrael, because it's Nachlas Hashem, because there's a special Hashgacha, the Mesorah will always be preserved in Eretz Yisrael. It'll always be a Makom where the Mesorah will be protected because of the aspects of the land itself. And perhaps Rabbi Yehuda argues with that. He holds no, that once the Mesorah was established in Bavel, then leaving it for anywhere, even Eretz Yisrael, would be a danger to the preservation of the Mesorah. But the Rambam is saying no, he's saying a Chiddush, based on the idea of that you're Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is that Eretz Yisrael will always be the Makom Mesorah because of what I mentioned, the Hashgacha, the idea of Nachlas Hashem. But Bavel, you can't leave it because the Jewish people weren't allowed to forsake the Mesorah. Even each individual had a requirement or an obligation to stay in Bavel in order to ensure the preservation of it to the best of their ability. And I think that's how the Rambam kind of fits together. So let me just summarize, and then I'll leave it up to the questions. So to summarize, basically we had two questions. One question was, why is it that if you live in Chutz Aretz, you're like an Ovid of Avodah Zarah? In what sense are you like that? And the second question was, what's the Isser of leaving Bavel? And we asked further questions on each. But within that question of what's the Isser of leaving Bavel, the Rambam seems to be confused based on the Gemara, because he's quoting the Gemara that says you can't go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but he says you can, and he quotes the same Pasuk. So what is the Rambam teaching us? So there's two ideas, but they're tied to one another. The Rambam is teaching us that a person's identification with land is such that they feel like there's a certain ownership over that land. And it's an unconscious thing where you say, this is my team, this is my city, my town. And when you do that in Chutz La'aretz, which is very common, that's really the source and the seed of Avodah Zarah. Because the seed of Avodah Zarah is a sense of power and control, and land ownership, or feeling like it's yours, land ownership in specific, is an ego driver. It drives man's ego. So therefore, it's a source of Avodah Zarah. But in Eretz Yisrael, you can't do that because of the fact that the land itself is tied to so many ideas that are for Shem Hashem and tied to mitzvos and the Hashgachas Hashem, like the Ramban is saying, unique Hashgacha. So all those things prevent a person from feeling a sense of ownership, that power that is really the seed of Avodah Zarah. It's almost impossible. And it's almost as if you're forced into accepting God as your God, like the Gemara says, because of all those aspects of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first idea. And the second idea the Rambam is saying is a chiddush, which is that Eretz Yisrael is always the Makom Mesora, regardless of whether Jews live there or not, because of the Hashgacha and the land itself and because of the mitzvos of the land, it's always the Makom Mesora. And therefore, the Isser to leave Bavel, which according to the Rambam is tied to not forsaking the Mesora, is only an Isser to go to other lands. You can't go to America. You can't go to Europe. But if you go to Eretz Yisrael, so there is no problem because of the Rambam's Chiddush, which is that Eretz Yisrael is unique and it will always be the Makom Mesora because of the fact that it's Nachlas Hashem, it's Eretz Hashem, and there's Hashgacha there that the Mesora will be preserved. So I think that's what the Rambam is saying. So again, the Rambam is a continuation of my share on Sunday. He's showing you the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, and you might have thought that I would have focused on the Bavel part, but no, I'm still tying it into Eretz Yisrael, even though you can't leave Bavel, because he's saying you can't leave because of the Mesora, but implicit in the Rambam is that you can go to Eretz Yisrael, and the reason is because of what I'm saying. Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rambam, is unique. It's the Makom Mesora. All right, so I think that's it for me, but I want to open it up to any questions. Anybody have any questions? Somebody, anybody.